Hello, fellow runners. Welcome to The Law of Running, the first and only podcast that helps runners understand their legal rights. I'm attorney and runner Steve Aggregard. Well, if you are like me, running has taken on increased significance and importance in your life as you use it as a tool, perhaps your primary tool, if not only tool, to keep healthy and to protect yourself from contracting the virus that has challenged our nation and our world. But the question arises, what about our obligations and perhaps even our legal duties, legal requirements to take steps to keep others safe when we are out running? Couple things we can do. Social distancing is one, keeping away from others, keeping that 6 feet, 6 foot difference, if not more. Another thing we can do is wear a mask. If you're like me, you've encountered plenty of pedestrians wearing masks. I'm in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota, and when I'm running, I encounter a fair number of pedestrians who are out walking with families, and they're wearing masks. But quite honestly, I see fewer runners wearing masks. Should we be required to do so? Well, from my perspective, there's sort of a two-pronged inquiry, one scientific and one legal. We'll get to the legal in a minute because that's the subject of this podcast. But in terms of the scientific, I'm in the same boat you are. I only know what I read. Science was not my strongest subject in school, so I rely on the popular press, the running media, to get my advice on these sorts of things. From what I pick up on, masks are recommended for a couple reasons: to cut down our chances of contracting the virus, but also to prevent us from transmitting it to others, even if we don't have symptoms. But for masks be required from a scientific perspective, I was drawn to an article recently in Outside Magazine. It was dated April 14th, if you want to Google it and look it up. The writer's Martin Fritz Huber, who writes about running for the magazine. And he cites the prevailing view that transmission of the virus comes not so much from fleeting moments on running trails and sidewalks, but probably when we are in close contact with others and for more than just a few seconds. So it cites the consensus, though, when it comes to wearing masks. Something might be better than nothing. The challenge is we just don't know. There are so many unknowns about how this virus is contracted and transmitted. I was drawn to the article, though, because he cites some doctors and specialists in infectious diseases, one of whom points out that if you cover your nose and mouth while exerting yourself while running, well, potentially that could actually lead to other problems. And once a mask gets wet, it loses its effectiveness. So from the jury's still out on whether they should be required scientifically. Another expert in airborne disease transmission made it clear that research supports the idea that social distancing is strongly urged for runners, but there just is not enough evidence to mandate that we wear masks. And in fact, the tenor of the article was that if we're on an uncrowded path, there's probably no need to wear a mask. And if we're running around a lot of people, then maybe consider a mask from a scientific perspective. But really, maybe there's practically the perspective is that maybe you should just find another route, because on the list of things we can do, social distancing, wearing a mask, and quite honestly, washing our hands, wearing a mask comes in a distant third. So against that backdrop, I was drawn to some official health department orders from California counties in particular that are not, they don't go so far to require runners to wear masks in public, but they're on the verge of doing so. They're strongly encouraging us to wear masks. What the orders do is require us to yield to other pedestrians on the theory that we are apparently our breathing engages or endangers others to a greater degree. Like I said, I'm not a scientist, and I can only know what I read. And there are a lot of things that are unknown, but the assumptions in the orders that by engaging in cardiovascular exercise, we might be increasing the chances of transmission. It struck me, quite honestly, as an overreaction because, you know, whether you're walking or running, you're still engaging in cardiovascular activity. So I'm recording this podcast in the morning of Sunday, April 26th, and one of the orders takes effect tomorrow morning at 8 in Yolo County, California, which is near Sacramento. And the language in that order, it puts the burden on us, on runners, to avoid exposing others to potentially dangerous airborne particles. And that's the language from the order, airborne particles. Even if that means, and get this, even if that means moving off sidewalks and yielding to non-runners. So although the order does not say so in as many words, it says that that perhaps we should take to the street instead of the sidewalk when encountered by other pedestrians who are on the sidewalk, on the idea that we are the ones who are more dangerous. The order does say that we should cross the street when running to avoid sidewalks and with pedestrians. So, you know, the order puts us in a tough bind, I think. It pushes us into the street where we potentially tangle with cars. And you know, when the dangers are not speculative in the street, when you deal with a car versus runner situation. And it's worth noting that California law, like the laws in several states and cities, it does allow us to cross the street outside of crosswalks, but in California and a lot of other states and municipalities, the law is clear. We need to yield the right of way to all vehicles, so we don't present an immediate hazard to the vehicles, and of course to ourselves as well, or an immediate hazard to the vehicles and a hazard in terms of getting into an accident or a collision. So that's what the law says. So it really puts us in a tough bind. The order in Yolo County goes on to say that runners should slow down and move to the side of sidewalks when they're unable to leave the sidewalk and when they're nearing other people. So again, in Yolo County, the burden is being put on us, on runners, to take actions to avoid exposing others to airborne particles, even though there does not appear to be widely accepted science to support this idea that we're somehow more dangerous than other pedestrians. The Yolo County order, it does say no spitting. That makes a lot of sense and is practical and common sense these days, I think. It also says that we should avoid running or cycling directly in front of or behind other runners or cyclists who are not in the same household. And that makes a lot of sense, too. In other words, the order strongly encourages social distancing among runners. I should point out, Yolo County is not alone. It just sort of caught my eye because it's taking effect just pretty much as I'm recording this podcast. Within the last week or two, several other California counties, including San Mateo County in the Bay Area, had similar orders take effect. And again, those orders recommended runners wear masks, but don't require them. But the order put the burden on runners to take steps to avoid others, even though there's no conclusive evidence out there that we are more dangerous than other pedestrians. So, what's the penalty for violating these orders? Well, the San Mateo order is pretty strict, actually. It warns that a failure to comply is, it constitutes an immediate or an imminent threat, an immediate menace to public health, a menace to public health, and that we're a public nuisance, and it's punishable by fine, imprisonment, or both if we don't take steps to protect others from ourselves. The order in Yolo County, which is about to take effect, it does take a softer stance and explains that enforcement efforts are quite honestly going to be directed not at runners, but specifically to what the order defines as essential businesses where masks are required, according to the order. So in Yolo County, at least, they're being transparent and saying that is where their efforts at enforcement are going to go. In the end, the order in Yolo County asks for cooperation from runners and cyclists and others who are involved in outdoor recreation. points out, you know, voluntary compliance is what is ultimately going to make a difference. And let's face it, that does make a lot of sense. And the order points out that also if runners do not wear face coverings, that we might have difficulty using public transit where face coverings are required, and might have difficulty ducking into an essential business if we need to during a run. So from a practical standpoint, you might want to tuck a mask in your running belt or your shorts and take it along with you, even though the orders are not requiring us to wear masks while running, at least not yet. And I say at least not yet. So, you know, there is a broader question, I think, too. Is it legal for municipalities to single out runners like this as opposed to other pedestrians? Well, you know, we have not had a global pandemic in our lifetimes, of course, but it's worth noting there have been efforts over the years to single out runners and not other pedestrians. In the early 1980s, as the running boom was really taking hold, runners were singled out in communities including Homedale Township, New Jersey, and Mill Neck, New York, where city councils there enacted ordinances that required runners but not other pedestrians to wear reflective clothing. And the ordinances also threatened runners with fines and even jail time for violating traffic laws. So we've been down this road before in a sense, and the reality there was the ordinances were not broadly enforced. And as officials in Yolo County observed in the order that's about to take effect there, enforcement's going to be a difficult endeavor. And that's true even with respect to social distancing, but also true with respect to masks, which again are being encouraged but not required. Still, you know, laws or not, you know, runners, we're wise to do our parts to maintain social distancing and keep our communities safe. We want to keep a positive reputation and image in our communities. So a lot of non-runners out there think that we're the more dangerous ones because we're out there huffing and puffing. And let's face it, we're not huffing and puffing much more than your typical pedestrian, because a lot of us run regularly and are in pretty darn good shape and want to stay that way. But we have a role in keeping others safe, of course. And, you know, yes, I think that does mean that we can and should move off the sidewalk when we can. But only when it's safe to do so. You need to watch out for the street. You need to watch out for areas that could be tripping hazards once you get off the sidewalk, even if you don't go into the street. You know, and I'll be honest, I have been happy to move out of the way of other pedestrians. It does strike me as wrong to require me to do it when my activity is measured against other pedestrians, but that sometimes is the view out there among non-runners, and we just need to, in this time, sort of accept it, I think. But, you know, I'm happy to play a role, and even if it's a tiny role, in trying to keep others safe amid all this uncertainty. But, you know, we need to keep ourselves safe, too. I need to keep myself safe and healthy during this time of uncertainty, health-wise, in our country and our world. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Go to my website, thelawofrunning.com, to find additional content and a link to where you can order my book by the same name. Thanks to Kabbalistic Village for the theme music. Visit composer Menachem Engel's page on SoundCloud. Last word with a legal disclaimer. I am not giving you legal advice, and I cannot give you legal advice because the laws are different in every state and nation and even every county in California sometimes. So if you need legal help, reach out to a lawyer in your area who knows the law in your area the best and is in the best position to help you in your particular situation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Steve Aggregard, and this is The Law of Running.